Hi, and welcome to Night Clerk Radio. This is episode 5, Danceable Vaporwave. I'm not sure why I said it like that, but we are here to talk about vaporwave. You can at least nod your head to, I think. I mean, well, or is it? Well, that's our first conundrum here. And of course, with me as always is Burke. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. It's coming in hot.
Yes. Setting a high standard for the rest of the episode.
That's right.
Yep. We do. Of course, I want to mention our previous Patreon bonus episode, Physical Media, because this episode we're talking about one of the albums. Both of the albums have physical media releases, but one of the albums in particular has some fun physical media releases.
That's right.
Yeah. So if you're a patron, if you're not a patron, please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/nightclerkradio so you can listen to that as we discuss physical media releases in vaporwave, from wax cylinders to video game cartridges. Vaporwave's got it all, baby. So, yeah, this episode was inspired again by the vaporwave subreddit because I saw a topic saying recommendations for danceable vaporwave, and people listed quite a few tracks, and I thought that's an interesting criteria to it, and there's a lot to say about it. But Burke, well, what are your initial thoughts on danceable?
It's danceable or danceable vaporwave. I guess we'll just talk about danceable broadly, and then we can figure out whether or not that applies to vaporwave, which is not typically, I think, it was like a dance genre, but like mold this over in my mind, because you can say a lot of different things about what makes something danceable, right? Like, you think of having like strong, consistent beat, right? Especially like in American music, like 4/4, 4 on the floor. It's kind of something, you know, backbeat, something people can lock into, but it doesn't have to be. Like waltz is 3/4 traditionally.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And like, I think a lot of Eastern European music can be very cultural. Like a lot of like folk dance stuff is in like 5 or 9. So it's like a blend of long and short, because that doesn't evenly divide by 2. So you have like groups of 3s and 2s. So I think that's like, I don't want to be too specific in case I'm wrong, but I think like Hungarian and Romanian folk dance music is in odd meter compared to what we do here. And then certainly like Indian ragas and stuff are like not even really written in what we think of as like meter. Like you kind of have to translate it. So it got me to thinking like danceable is probably just anything you can dance to, which sounds like reductionist and dumb. Roll credits. But because like you have to talk about like what does it mean to dance? Does it just get your body moving?
Yeah.
Like, is like head bobbing sufficient to be like danceable? Does it have to be like, oh, I'm gonna like rush the club floor and jump around? And I don't know, because I don't have really any experience of being like driven to dance by music. As much as I like music, I'm not a dancer. I don't like anything that reminds me of my corporeal form, which dancing absolutely qualifies. So I don't dance, and I don't think about dancing to music, but I certainly understand when something has a strong rhythm that latches onto you. So I don't think we talk about it much, and neither of us are big listeners, but there's a huge phase like a year and a half ago in just like top 40 pop in the US of using a lot of like Latin Afro-Cuban type claves, which are like key beats. So in those genres, you have like a fixed rhythm called the clave or key pattern. And that's what defines like a bossa nova or a samba, any of those sort of genres, a salsa or whatever. And one, I think it was called cumbia, apologies for my pronunciation, but which you heard just in everything. It's like that boom, 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 boom.
Oh yeah.
It was just like in everything. And yeah, like that's not like evenly spaced, but still like in 4, and you have like a strong and a weak beat you can kind of nod to. Which I think is like, I think you just need like a rhythmic flow, whatever it is. Yeah. There just has to be something consistent to latch onto, which is interesting when you get to like vaporwave, because then vaporwave, first of all, probably violates a lot of tempo stuff. Like you generally think of dancing stuff like disco or whatever, being a little more up tempo. I don't know. Vaporwave is interesting because it's not up tempo, certainly not in feel. Like, but then there's like vapor trap and stuff, which kind of is. So I don't know. I'm rambling, but like, there's just a lot of stuff to go into this, figuring.
Yeah. What I was thinking when I was thinking of danceable, I was thinking about danceable in the context of, music that the kind of music that we review, like electronic music primarily. And even within there, there's a broad variety, because I mean, there's all those DM genres, EDM, IDM, the other IDM, indie dance / new disco. Like, IDM is intelligent dance music or industrial dance music, depending on who you're talking to.
My word.
Yeah. I wanted to see if there were more, but basically everyone just calls EDM the big thing, and then like all the subgenres are under that. So your drum and bass, dubstep, all that stuff. So in sort of like a broader like music scene approach, dance music means something that music that is designed for a large event, you know, a club, a party, a rave, lots of people in a dark place playing it loud as possible. But that's what the DJ is making it for. But that's not what, like, I would say that's the minority of people, how people listen to it, because I would imagine, I imagine that more people listen to it outside of the clubs than they do inside it. But I mean, what do I know?
I have no idea.
Exactly. I mean, I'm like you. I don't really go to clubs to dance or anything.
So, yeah, I have no idea what the scene is like. Or...
Yeah, I think it varies per things. I mean, people dance to trap music. They dance to all kinds of EDM. They dance to a lot of stuff. But like, I think there's different types of danceable music. Like there's the crowd pleasing hype, you know, EDM, wait for the drop kind of thing, the signal for everyone to freak out. And then there's like slow dance music, you know, more like a waltz or something where you're it's meant to be an accompaniment to romance, you know, an excuse to get close to a special someone and sway in rhythm and all other kinds of dances in between. So,
yeah, I think that's the issue is you have to think about like, what type of dancing am I doing? What are my goals?
Yeah. And so I think with Vaporwave, there's like two, like, you know, the first thing I tried to do was try and find albums that were not going to be future funk or vapor trap. But that's kind of what we wound up with. Although, because those are the danceable subgenres of Vaporwave. But like, if you look at the original thread on the subreddit, what you see is people recommending individual songs on various albums. So like, there would be, you know, like Death's Dynamic Shroud, WMB. There's like one song in there of this, and there's certain parts of albums that are like, oh yeah, this one. But like, it's not an entire album.
Right.
So you kind of have to make a mix of danceable bangers, which is sort of like an interesting approach, but not what we really do here is to look at individual songs. We look at albums. And so it's an interesting challenge. And it was, I spent like hours looking at Bandcamp and other places to find them that were trying to not just be vapor trap or future funk. And what I wound up with, well, did you just want to go into it?
Yeah. I mean, I might as well just get into the music. So those hopefully danceable beats come from track 2, Illuminati Fallout, off our first album, Syndicated Simulcast Volume 1, released by Yamta on Oasis Records. So full disclosure, you're kind of saying you're going through Bandcamp. You really picked out both albums we're doing today, and I just took one and you took the other. So you probably have a little maybe insight into why this one danceable. But before we get into that, I do want to call back to what she said at the beginning, where this album had some interesting physical releases, which are kind of cool. Just kind of want to draw attention to. So it had the standard CD, but the CD was designed to look like a Dreamcast discs, basically, which is cool. It had the Game Boy Advance cartridges version, which is something we talked about on the bonus episode as like alternate media. And then DVDs designed to look like PlayStation 2 games, which I thought were all like nice touches. And you know, I think we both talked about how we like that side of physical media. Not that it has anything to do with how danceable this album is, but it's just interesting.
Yeah, I think, didn't say they were gonna. Yeah, they had a limited edition Dreamcast, mm-hmm. Dreamcast bootable CD plus a DVD and audio CD. So it's like it's a multi.
Oh, I missed the bootable part. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So not just looking like a Dreamcast disc, but is a Dreamcast disc.
Yeah, launch edition version zero Dreamcast will not boot our discs. So not exactly an official thing. So it is sold out, though. There's only 20 copies.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is very interesting physical release. I actually think I still have my Dreamcast in a box somewhere. So if only I had been there in time.
20 is a hard one to get. You have to really be,
be
on top of stuff to get 20. But so like the music for this, as you kind of heard, this is broadly, I guess it really covers a range of genres. I think mm-hmm. probably I'm most likely to call it like post vaporwave if I had to pick one.
Yeah.
Cause it is like, feels like more original compositions, less sampling, a lot of guest artists on mm-hmm. this, like almost like most every track has a feature of some type. So like very collaborative making music, not just sampling music. And we talked about a lot on this episode, not that that's a judgment call, but it is like a shift in what artists are doing. And then like a little bit of vapor trap, a little bit more active, like percussion, a little glitchy, mm-hmm. a little experimental. But I don't know how that translates to danceability because like, I don't know, I was bobbing my head to it. Once I got past the first track, which is called Signals, and it's just sort of like a boot up track almost.
Mm-hmm. I do like Signals though, because
I do too. A signal rather, sorry.
Yeah, a signal. Yeah, it reminded me of like the start of like an edutainment show on like public TV in that second half, like about a minute five in, like that beat like kicks in and it's like that sense. I don't know. It's like, oh, we're going to learn about some fucking volcanoes or something. Like, I like that older style. Yeah, your comment about the lots of guests released. Just coincidentally, I saw a tweet from Winterquilt recently, an artist mm-hmm. we previously reviewed, and he said, yeah, I had a real busy year this year. I didn't release any of my own albums, but I collabed on like 10 other albums. And I'm like, okay, interesting. So a lot of people are really getting into that. And there's like five guest artists aside from Yamta on this one. And post vaporwave, that's how it's tagged actually on Bandcamp.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I was really curious about that too, because yeah, we should definitely explore that in a future episode of what it means to be post vaporwave. But mm-hmm. yeah, this is a good vapor trap. Like I feel it reminded me a bit of like R23X / Equip style, because it seemed to be very influenced by like video game music.
Yep.
But like original compositions, and like there's a bit of like vaporer in there in terms of like if I had to pick similarities to it. But mm-hmm. it's danceable in that sense that it'll get your head nodding and like it's upbeat and like, but I to the right crowd it would be, but like this would be like danceable to hardcore vaporwave fans, like not like casuals.
It feels very much again, I don't know, it feels very much like club music, right? Like mm-hmm. I could totally see this being enjoyed because it's really well produced. It's really well made. It's a great album. And like I said, you know, I was like head bobbing mm-hmm. to it, but I could see people who are into it, like really getting going with it. It's got a lot of drive.
Mm-hmm. I really dig like on track four, some steel drums, like mm-hmm. very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like track two, like had a kind of like a dreamy, like nature wave vibe to it. Kind of like, you know, mm-hmm. A little chill. Like one thing I realized is even on albums that like I specifically picked to be danceable, not every track is like danceable in it. Like even there's always like this rhythm within the album of like speed up, slow down, cool everyone off, build them back up. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that you still see that here as well, because you can't just have every single track be a dance your ass off, you know, banger. Like you need to respect your audience, respect the listeners.
Yeah, and I think all the features contribute to that, because then you end mm-hmm. up with sort of a consistent but wide range of music. So it mm-hmm. almost in the same sense feels like a good DJ set or mixtape or something, mm-hmm. which I think contributes to that overall feel. But it does have a lot of like vaporwave experimental elements to it that I'm curious about how those mesh with like dancing. Like maybe in the moment you wouldn't even notice, but just it's a good example. Something like this. So that's the middle of the track Outer Reach, which is track 7. And it's just as interesting because like everything else about it is I guess like pretty danceable and catchy, but it has like these glitchy synths going on over it. They're still like regular enough that I don't think they'd throw you off if you were trying to dance to it. And it's just interesting that like Vaporwave can't help but have these little bits in there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just think it's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, like there's experimentation too. Like track 12 had like original Voyage had like original vocals in it. And normally I'm not like a huge fan of that, but I think it worked in that context, especially because it's in the, like towards the end of the album. Like I'm kind of hooked enough that I'm like, all right, yeah, no, this vibes, this works. I don't know if I would like that track on its own as much. Yeah. I don't know. I like it.
I agree. I think even if you don't care about like the danceable side of stuff, it's definitely like a good new Vapor Trap album worth checking out.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to keep an eye on Yamta and these other artists mentioned on there. I did spend some time like looking through all of their Bandcamp pages, the other artists that are mentioned on here. Mm-hmm. By the way, they are Axion, Be Careful, Clara Mist, M-I-S-E, Ming Karai, and Paru Normal. It's a full posse. It's a full crew. Yeah.
Yeah. And I knew it'd be pretty good because I think a lot of those are, at least some of those artists are also on this Oasis label.
Mm-hmm.
But we've done other Oasis music we really liked. So 4D Gradients, the post Mollsoft album, that was my choice for our post Mollsoft episode, was off Oasis. So just in general, they're a quality source of sort of modern forms of these genres. Just in general, like going through their catalog, I highly recommend.
And that is from Private Caller from a St. Pepsi's Winter Circle. This is the deluxe edition we're going to be looking at today, which is a split album. We're only reviewing the St. Pepsi part. St. Pepsi originally released this in 2013 and became one of his, according to some people, like his last classic St. Pepsi before he changed his sound, before he got big.
Oh, no.
He's still releasing music. His last full album is in 2019. Yeah, St. Pepsi is very much a future funk artist. It's very much future funk, but it is kind of rare for a future funk album. Future funk's become so linked to Japanese city pop and disco kind of music that like St. Pepsi, especially in this one, you know, from 2013, he's using Western like pop music and disco, but like obscure stuff to as a plunderphonic source to remix and recontextualize. So Private Caller is basically a remix, or like, I mean, obviously a lot of work has been done of a song from Lust, Suzanne Stevens, who's a Canadian artist. That was a cover, an Italo disco cover of a 1970s song from another artist. So yeah, it's complicated. Yeah.
And so very much in that 2013 vaporwave tradition of obscure samples and reworking them into plunderphonics, like the original goal of plunderphonics is like mutating them into original work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here it is. The Pillow Talk by Lust is that's the 1983 song that St. Pepsi used. And Pillow Talk, I think, was a 1970s song. So like Pillow Talk is a 1973 song from Sylvia. We have a 1973 song. It becomes a Italo disco cover from 1983 from an artist called Lust. And then St. Pepsi in 2013 turns it into Private Caller, if you can follow all that. But it's, I mean, Private Caller is a, like, all-time banger. It's been on the million vaporwave mixes. Like, the music video of it on YouTube, but features all these clips from like Hong Kong TV commercials and shit and Japanese commercials. And it's got like 11 million views or something like that. And Saint Pepsi is about making you feel good and just like having a good time and like just having a party. He, his real name is Skylar Spence, and he began Saint Pepsi in 2012. It's interesting. His style, called a blend of future funk, vaporwave, disco pop, future pop, liquid disco, slow jam, and gibber boogie. He calls his music restless and nostalgic and sonically curious. I'm drawn to tuneful melodies, complex chord structures, outlandish synths and drums, and I like to take pop capapellas and see how I can warp the songs while keeping the melodies almost entirely intact. I want to make pop music for freaks, basically. So yeah, I quite like this album. Saint Pepsi is, I cannot get enough of his stuff, at least his classic stuff. I need to listen to his 2019 album, Mannequin Challenge. I think I have, but I have only listened to it a couple times. So what'd you think?
Yeah, I know the songs, like you said, they came out in 2013, but it'd been so long since I listened to Saint Pepsi, especially stuff that old. Mm-hmm. I was surprised. I expected something much more future funky. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's kind of as soon as Private Caller started playing, I was like, oh yeah, I remember now what's going on. But yeah, I think it's a great classic album. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. kind of reviewing a classic. So what can you say? But
well, I have a theory of this. Okay. Now, I realized listening to this and really thinking about it. Okay. We've already talked about hyper reality. This is hyper real pop music. Pop music more pop than the actual pop music that it sampled. Like, it's like, I was like, didn't I hear this as a kid? It's like, no, you couldn't have, the way Saint Pepsi, like, you know, distorted it and shifted it. And also he based it on really obscure stuff you never listened to before, like an Italo disco thing from 1983. Yeah. So
no, you got that in Springfield, Missouri in the 80s or whatever. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So it's hyper real. It's hyper real pop music. Mm. It's the sensation of pop music without any of the annoying parts, because there's no celebrity. It's all just pure sound. And you don't have to think about the gossip or the drama or the politics of it or anything. It's just the music. Well, yeah. I mean, there's always politics, but yeah.
That is interesting, because that is the one big difference I felt listening to these albums back to back a few times. Over the week, we kind of get ready to do this, is this one is definitely, probably because it's sourced from actual pop hits of various times, is the one that feels more believable, like if they were successful dance songs of their time, even though they couldn't have, because that time never existed. It's all fake, like you said. But it was just interesting listening to it, like I said, back to back, and then thinking about like the evolution of the genre of like, from one to the other. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know quite what to make of it. The hyperpop angle is interesting. I don't know if it's that or more kind of just fucking with your memories and stuff more than it actually being more pop than pop.
Because Saint Pepsi is the only like future funk kind of artist that we're working in that space, I think, that isn't like relentlessly into Japanese culture and like sampling. Like his stuff sounds distinct. Like if you put him in a future funk mix, his stuff is the stuff that I'm going to instantly recognize, even if I haven't heard that track. It's like, oh, that's Saint Pepsi, because it's the only one that's going to like sound like English for the most part. Like everything else,
yeah, it just pulls from a different sampling tradition. Yeah
Let's play another sample. And that is Newton, I just love that disco string section. I just love, just in general, just as an aside, I love disco songs that have like a good string section. Mm-hmm. Like it just sounds fucking cool. You know, it's very, I don't know. I just like a couple of violins. Like, yeah, no, do that for that funky disco song. So yeah, just a pure indulgence for me. So even on this album, though, there are some songs that are not like danceable. This is where I realized that there's slow dance songs, because there's definitely some slow dance kind of songs in this one. Like, let's see here, like Sirius, Dreams are both, you know, LYB is winding down. I don't even think that's entirely danceable.
Yeah, Drop is pretty down tempo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more of a vapor love ballad.
Yeah, you could slow dance to it.
Yeah. You know, Monkey Bite, the after party, but it does end on a high note with like, we can make it the final track, because they get back on the full on dance. It almost kind of segues into like a Daft Punk kind of groove towards the end, like that chorus. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of cool bits in this album. And yeah, at some point, I think I will review Mannequin Challenge in a distant future episode.
I guess we haven't really talked about St. Pepsi much on the main feed, because I'm sure they came up in the Future Funk bonus episode we did.
Not that much, though, I don't think. Because because again,
that's not really what Aaron, our guest, is into.
Yeah, because again, it's like in Future Funk, it's so influenced by city pop, and there's not many. I can't think, like, I mean, there's Architecture in Tokyo and Macross and 8299, all these other people, but then like there's St. Pepsi, and I can't think of other art. Just, I'm sure there are, but I can't think of anyone who's like, oh yeah, that's the same kind of music that St. Pepsi does. Something to think about.
Yeah, if somehow, which maybe you knew the genre or whatever. Just joining in. If you haven't heard this album, definitely go check it out. It's really good. The deluxe edition. I don't know exactly what makes it deluxe.
It might have been remastered, but I think they also cut some tracks. Like the earlier edition had more tracks on it. So like these are the best tracks, or like this part.
We got in trouble for the other tracks.
So that could have been it too. But Private Caller stayed, and Private Caller is, again,
that's
all-time
true.
Banger. Thank you so much for listening. Our next episode is going to be a experiment for us. A very, very special movie party with Max from Good Brews, Bad Views, friend of the podcast. So that will be quite fun. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm sure, Burke, you are too.
Yeah, it just kind of popped into my head as like a weird idea to do for the holiday episode. And it's very different from what we normally do, but hey, if you don't like it, it's one episode. You'll be fine.
Yep. Don't forget, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/nightclerkradio. We have quite a few bonus episodes at this point. So if you're eager to hear some cool talk about music and vaporwave and dark ambient and all that good stuff and philosophy and all that, check it out. It's only $5 a month. We are on at Night Clerk Radio on Twitter. I am at Ross Payton. Burke is at Burke McBurkinson. We've got a website, nightclerkradio.com, Facebook page that I try to at least put new episode listed on. Let's see here. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever you use to listen to the podcast. It helps. Tell your friends, tell your enemies. Just host a big party and just dance to us talking. We're probably a pretty danceable podcast.
Oh, I'm absolutely danceable.
Thank you so much for listening.